Shalom Alechem.
Peace be with you, and hi. This is Jonathan Kahn, a nice Jewish boy, and the president of Hope of the World Ministry. And this tape is really different from all other tapes in that it is informal. I didn't really plan this. I don't have really any real notes for this, and I wanted it to be like that. I wanted it to be spontaneous, informal, and to the heart, and really personal, as much as I can be personal on a tape. This is for you who have written to us, or you who have inquired or gotten in touch, or to really give you a good introduction into the ministry of Hope of the World. And it's going to be a potpourri of things. It's going to be a whole bunch of different things on this tape. I'm going to speak about I'm going to speak on Scripture and how the ministry got started. The imperative of the Great Commission, speaking about prophecy and the Jewishness of the gospel. Hopefully, if I have time, I'll speak about what we're doing around the world and read some letters. I have some around here, not organized. Also, if I have a chance, I'll get a guitar out and do a song. I wouldn't do that on the first part, or else that would end you listening to the rest of the cassette. Maybe if I have a chance, I'll also do the ancient Aaronic blessing. But it's really to make an acquaintance and to say hi. You may know me more than I know you. That's most likely. You may have heard or written to us or gotten in touch through a number of different things, through our broadcasts here or around the world, through the Watchman World Report, or who knows, whatever things. Everything I'm saying is reflective of what's happening now. I can't speak of what we'll be doing later. Hopefully, you'll be growing and continue to grow as it's happening. But I really want you to get the spirit and the flavor and the reason and the heart of the ministry. And I hope that after this, you really will. And that, you know, it's the beginning of a great relationship. You know, Hope of the World is a very special ministry. I think it's very special, very unique, and has a wonderful heart. Let me start by first telling you in a nutshell how it started. It started with the Great Commission, and that's how everything should start, of course. The Great Commission is what God gave us as the divine imperative, the prime imperative, the thing that is moving us, should be our number one mission or goal on earth, and that is to spread the good news, to share the good news, to share the love of God. And there's really nothing more important than that we can do to regarding our fellow man, to love them, to share the word of God, to share the greatest message we could ever give, give them the greatest healing that can ever be given, the greatest truth that could ever be shared, the greatest peace that could ever be given, and the greatest salvation and change, the new birth, being born again, being saved, what it's all about, the greatest message, you know. We can't really do anything greater than that. So I want to encourage you, and hopefully, you know, in this tape, you'll be encouraged to really make a real great difference in your life, in your world, in your home, and for the Lord. And with that in mind, and I'll speak more about that in a moment. I was praying and I opened up. I was praying and about this, you know, about you know how to in serving with the Great Commission. And I was just looking for something to read that day, and I just happened to open up for something to read. And I opened up to this verse, and it popped out at me, and it was from Isaiah 54. It was, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwellings, spare not. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations." And it was, you know, a real, it just struck my heart. It was to go out, to expand, to reach out to the world and to attempt great things for the Lord, and expect great things from God. And soon enough, you know, we had nothing, to start it, you know, we nothing but the name, which Hope of the World, and the Hope of the World is God, of course, is the Lord. He is the Hope of the World, and we started, you know, we in faith shared this vision, And we had no real resources. We had no real organization or anything, backing or anything that you'd expect to have. We just had a few people and a number of people, really people, not people who were rich or people who were powerful or people who were anything, a number of people who started contributing to the Great Commission. And the Lord started opening up one door after the next door after the next door after the next door. And pretty soon we were spreading the word around the world. And yet it's funny because on one hand we still remain, in a lot of ways it's, small with small, with us, at least at this time, with a small, it's hard to explain, kind of operating on a shoestring budget. And yet we are reaching around to five continents, the world. It's really powerful what God has done. So that's the point. It's devoted to the Great Commission, which when the Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations, spread the word. He said, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. Go out, go. I send you as the Father has sent me. So I send you. So we are all to be part of this Great Commission. All of us. I don't care what you are, what you do, what your profession is. We're all part of the Great Commission. And that is what Hope of the World is devoted to. To do that in love and to stay true to that, to simply fulfill the Great Commission simply, and it's been, there's a lot of organizations often grow with a million other things that aren't necessarily essential. We've always stayed really kind of bare bone and right to the purpose. And I'll share about that in a moment too. Let me tell you about this special calling of it, and this is something you should know. If you're a believer, you are in spirit Jewish. In the book of Ephesians, it says that you who are Gentile by birth, you were brought near. You used to be a stranger to the Commonwealth of Israel, but now you've been brought in. You are now a fellow citizen in the Commonwealth of Israel. You're now an Israelite. It says you're now a child of Abraham. You see, Christianity is Jewish. It's for everybody. Equally, God is not partial, but it is through the Jewish people. It is from the Jewish people. It is Jewish. Jesus was Jewish, of course, Messiah, and his real name was Yeshua, or Joshua in English. And he, his mother was Jewish, of course, and he was born in a Jewish town, Beit Lechem or Bethlehem. He grew up in another one, Nitzaret or Nazareth. He fulfilled the prophecies of the prophets of Israel. He died and rose again according to Hebrew prophecy, and in Jerusalem, the holy city of Israel. And so it is for all people, but it's Jewish. Salvation is of the Jews, and yet it's for all people. So it is, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. It's the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. And that's our scripture as well. If we had it, I mean, there's a few we could choose, but that's one of them, certainly one of them. That is the biblical pattern of salvation to the Jew, then to the rest. And so there's something very special, very hard about ministering to the Jewish people, but very special. And that is that you're dealing with the natural branches, as in Romans 9 through 11. The natural branches, these are the brothers and sisters of Jesus, Yeshua. You see, people love Jesus or praise him, and yet it's amazing how people can call themselves Christians and yet not love his people. People make statues of Jewish people. They make paintings of Jewish people, Mary and Joseph and all that. At Christmas time, they set up these scenes and send cards with pictures of Jewish people, of Jesus' family, all about his family. And yet, they don't realize that his family does not just exist in statues and pictures. They're alive. They're alive, and they're here. They've survived God's ancient people. They're still here, and they need the gospel. No people have been so persecuted in the name of their Messiah as the Jewish people. No people, and yet they gave the world to him. As a gift, they gave you that as a gift. So, it's amazing. No people have been so kept from their own good news, So it's a very special ministry. There are great stakes involved in that respect. to keep the Jewish people from knowing. And because you know, Paul says, what will it be when they come again? When they know, what will it be? It'll be life from death at that time. I mean, if their rejection means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their acceptance be? So there is so much waiting for that. I mean, remember, the Messiah said that he wouldn't come again until the Jewish people said, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that meant a lot. It meant, number one, the Jewish people had to survive as no other people survived. They had to come back to the land of Israel because they had to come back, and they had to come back to Jerusalem because he said it to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. Well, there weren't really a lot of Jewish people in Jerusalem for 2,000 years. And he's, interestingly, if you take it really literally, he said he spoke Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew Aramaic, and he quoted from a Hebrew psalm. So in its most literal form, they would have to speak Hebrew again, you know, and they would have to come back to their Messiah. That is the key thing. And so it's amazing. 1948, the Jewish people came back to the land of Israel. 1967, they came back to Jerusalem. The 1980, Jerusalem was declared the capital of Israel. They spoke Hebrew again. And since that time, particularly since the Jewish people returned to Jerusalem, 1967, more Jewish people have been coming back to their Messiah than any other time since the beginning of the age, since the book of Acts. So it's a real exciting time. You know, you wanted to live in biblical times. Well, you're living in them. And this, you know, we believe is a very biblical or prophetic kind of ministry in that respect. That's a special calling. And that all believers should want to bless the Jewish people. You know, it said salvation came to those who are not Jewish. One of the reasons was to bring back the Jewish people. It's like the torch was passed by Jewish people. If you have salvation in your life, if you've been blessed by the Lord, if you have had your life change, well, it's from the Jewish people. It's through them. They gave it to you. And listen, it meant a lot for them to give it back then. I mean, for them to reach out to Gentiles, it was a big deal. You know, to go to foreign lands and pagan customs and practices and idolatry, and to break through when they got so much resistance from their own people not to do that, and also from the Gentiles not to do that. Yet they broke through to get you the gospel, even though there were very big walls up. Well, now is the time for you. How much more you now to bring back help to bring back the gospel to God's ancient people. You know, you're touching, if you love Jesus, you got to love his family, and you're touching the heart of Jesus in a very special way by reaching out to the Jewish people. It's like a full circle of love. Salvation came from the Jewish believers to the Gentiles, that from the Gentile believers, salvation would come back to the Jewish people. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful full circle thing. And now is the time, you know, the gospel has been going to all nations. And now is the time of coming back. It's like everything's coming home. It's as it was in the beginning. You know, there's an Israel in the world like there was in the book of Acts. There are Jewish believers again. There are Jewish teachers of the gospel again. There are Jewish messengers of the gospel, Jewish preachers of the gospel, Jewish ministers. And this is an exciting time. And that's part of our mission. You know, a special part is that thing. So we reach out to the largest Jewish population in the world outside of Israel, which is the New York metropolitan area. That's where we're headquartered. That's where I am right now. I'm in a room that's very messy. I'm in my office and in my apartment, and it's in the largest area of Jewish people in the world outside of Israel. So we broadcast here at this time. We have a very well-known broadcast here. We have Orthodox Jewish people. I mean, you may be from this area, so then it's not news to you, but this is for anybody, you know, for all of our ministry family, so I just want to make sure you know. We have many inquiries from Orthodox believers, from Jewish people. We've seen many Jewish people come to the Lord. We've seen Israelis come to the Lord. We've seen Orthodox Jews come to the Lord. We've received inquiries from Orthodox rabbis. We've also gotten death threats because it's an exciting ministry, let me tell you, because the stakes are so high, you're breaking down walls. And so, you know, we've had very heavy times, too, with that, but it's exciting and it's wonderful, and who would have known? You know, we live in this day. I mean, believers prayed for the day when Jewish people are coming back, and they're coming back, and so here we are. You know, in the largest area and in the greatest time at the same time. You know, and also we broadcast to Israel. I mean, it's like the Lord has given us that blessing that we can. We're right now broadcasting to the land of Israel and the land from which the Bible came. I mean, so and to Jerusalem. So only in this day and age could a believer really be part of a ministry to bring back the gospel to the land of that gave you the gospel to the people who gave you the gospel in the land, because only in the last century have really Jewish people, even in any kind of numbers, really come back or lived there. And in Jerusalem, only since 1967 have there been really a lot of Jewish people or in any sizable, substantial amount of Jewish people in the land, in Jerusalem, the city that brought it. So this is prophecy, and it's exciting. It's like everything again coming full circle. So we've been blessed with that blessing to be able to have that ministry. We broadcast in the Middle East to the land of Israel and to the city of cities. You know, so there's something I'm excited about that. I hope you are too. So we have that ministry, and to also keep in mind, there are so many blessings. You know, it says in Isaiah, it says, comfort ye my people, says the Lord. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Speak kindly, you know, tell her her warfare has ended, her iniquity has been repaid. Comfort my people. Well, who's he speaking to? Well, if his people are the Jewish people, if Jerusalem certainly, if it speaks of that, then who is he speaking? Well, he's speaking to his other people. He's speaking to you, the believer. Comfort my people. You know, it is your calling. I don't care who you are, what to do in prayer and in help and support to bring back, because you know, it's like we're to bless as we've been blessed. If you've been blessed with new things in your life, with blessings, with hope, with healing, with it's come in the human realm, it's come through the Jewish people. So the natural way to bless back is to bless them back. The greatest anti-Semitic act, anti-Jewish act, is to withhold from the Jewish people their Messiah, their salvation. And the greatest act of love is to bring it back. And you know, when you touch the Jewish people, you're touching the apple of his eye. You're touching him in a special way. You're touching him. And the promise is also from the very beginning, those who bless you, who bless the Jewish people, will be blessed. And I've never met a believer who with a love for Israel, with a love to reach them, who didn't have a great walk, who didn't have a lot of life in their walk, who wasn't on fire for the Lord, and balance and rootedness. There's so many blessings that way. So it's a very special blessing. Don't do it so you can be blessed, although you will be blessed. But it's only natural. I mean, you are now grafted in. You are now adopted in a special way. And they're in the family in another way, but you're part of the family. You know, the word for family in Hebrew is mishpacha. Mishpacha, you can try that, you know. And that's actually the word we use for membership as well. Another thing, you know, just to give our ministry is also to the non-Jewish believers or non-Jewish by birth, to the churches and all that, and to the individual believers, to really help you come back to the richness of your faith. You know, that's while the Jewish people are coming back to their Messiah, as it was foretold in the prophets, you know, in all the prophecies, this would happen in the end times. Well, also it is for the Gentiles to join hands with the Jewish people. It says in Zechariah, in that day, 10 Gentiles will come up to a Jewish people and say, let us go with you. They won't come out to persecute them. They won't be persecuted anymore. They'll say, come, let us go with you. You know, in that day, many people will join themselves. So it's wonderful that this is happening. You know, that at the same time Jewish people are coming back to their Messiah, the non-Jewish believers are coming back to their roots, to their Jewish roots. So it's all, you know, it's like happening from both sides of the wall. You know, 2,000 years ago, many Jewish people came to the Lord, and they were, again, the people who taught the world, but most of the Jewish people didn't. And in the church, the same, most of the church abandoned its roots, so there was this big split. So the Jewish people lost, as a whole, lost the life, the spirit, the mission. They lost that. They lost so much. They lost everything, really. For 2,000 years, it's been so hard for them. Yet the church, or the non-Jewish church, the believers largely lost their roots too. We don't realize they lost something important too. they lost their roots, their rootedness, the flavor of the Bible, the culture, the down to earthness of Jesus, the humanity of Jesus, the original depth and richness and fullness and meaning. It's all found in that. You see, God had it that it should be one. So we've had this wall up, and so our part is not only to reach the Jewish people, but also to bless the non-Jewish people, believers, with their heritage. You see, it is your heritage now. You know, it is your heritage. You know, not only to bless back. You know, Paul said if the Gentile believers have been blessed by the Jewish people, they should all the more bless them back. You know. But also, it's a blessing. You get blessed as you do it. You know, we're one in the Lord, and it's a wonderful, wonderful heritage, the heritage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Mashiach, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, you know. So it's a wonderful thing. So I want to say, you know, you have you who are, and I mean the large amount of our ministry are people who are not Jewish, but people who love the Jewish people. But we have many Jewish people as well. But, you know, think about Ruth. Just keep Ruth in mind. You know, Ruth was a non-Jewish person who loved the Jewish people. She loved her. She had a mother-in-law named Naomi, whose name was Pleasant, but Naomi suffered loss, and she changed her name to Bitterness because she'd suffered through so much. Yet in her suffering, nevertheless, she found Ruth. Ruth, who loved her and came back with her to the land of Israel. You know, if you know the story, you can read the book of Ruth. But you know who Ruth is? Ruth is you. Ruth is you who are not Jewish by birth, but are by rebirth, you know, by adoption, by being grafted in. You're the daughter-in-law of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are Naomi. You're meant to be Pleasant, yet now embittered in sorrow, having lost in mourning, really, for 2,000 years, wandering spiritually not having. And yet it was through Ruth that Naomi was blessed. It was through Ruth that Naomi her life was restored. So it is through God has chosen through Naomi to come Ruth, that through Ruth Naomi would be blessed again. And so God has chosen you, who are not Jewish by birth, to be blessed through the Jewish people, that through you Naomi, who is your mother, that through you would be blessed. You know, so it's a beautiful thing, and that's a special part of our ministry. Now, let me tell you about the other part of it. The other part is just to the Jew and also the Gentile. Well, listen, we love Gentiles just as much, and we are excited about reaching the world for the Lord. And so, the other part of our ministry is a gigantic part, which is to reach the world, the untouched peoples, the millions, for the Lord. And people all over, from all the unreached peoples of the world, from the Eskimo to the Pygmy to the Arab to the Russian to the et cetera, onward and onward and onward around the world. And we have been so blessed that way. We hope you have a burden. And the reason being that you know, every generation stands in the gap. Every generation of believers stands for the generations of unbelievers. In other words, they hold a torch for their generation. We hold a torch. We hold a light for our generation. It's for us. You know, he said, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. Go, therefore. You know, there's always a greater harvest than there are laborers. And this, again, is the great, great, great commission. We are called. How can, you know, the point is, how can we keep it to ourselves? How could we hold the light? I mean, how can light be contained, you know? How can light be hidden that you don't see it? Who lights a light and hides it? You know, how can you contain joy? You know, it has to flow over. And how can you, if you've gotten the greatest gift in the world, how could you hold it for yourself? You know, you have something that the Bible tells you, there's a story about a time when there's a siege in the land of Israel, and there's a city under siege, and it is being starved to death, and there's a famine, and yet God does this miracle. The army that's surrounding it, he suddenly vanquishes them. And there are lepers who are outside from the city, but they're outside. Because they're outside, they happen to stumble on something. They come into the tent of the army, and it's all abandoned. But they come in there, and there's tons of food and clothing and riches and treasures and all, everything is there. and all they could imagine, and they're rejoicing with it. They're rejoicing and having a great time until one of them says, wait a minute. You know, we're not doing right. We're doing wrong. This is a time for good news. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. Hurry, let's go back to the city and tell the people so judgment doesn't overtake us for what we're doing. Well, you know, if you're a believer, you know, we're like the lepers. We're outside. We happen to stumble on something, or it came to us, rather. We stumble on the greatest thing. We're rejoicing, Lord, thank you for saving me and healing me and giving me wholeness in my life, giving me a reason to live and giving me a sure thing and all these things, and yet there are people perishing. You know, thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life, and I'll have it, and I'm not going to perish forever. And there are people all around who are perishing, and we rejoice, and we give praise and all that, but, you know, where to go back? We're not doing right. It's a day of good news. You know, good news translated becomes the gospel. We are here in a day of good news to be spreading.
It is for
how
us
could
we
do
keep
that? And that's the great mission. You know, he came to us. We are to come to others, period. You know, and you can't keep receiving if you don't give. You know, we're like branches and we're vessels. It's got to flow out. It's got to become fruit. It's got to flow out for it to be keep flowing in. It's got to keep flowing in to keep flowing out. We got to be open on both sides. So, you know, give so that you'll receive, but give also for the joy of giving, you know, and receive that you might give. It's so important, you know. Somebody once told, I believe Keith Green told of a dream that someone had, and it was of people having like a picnic and I mean, it's a sunny day. Everybody's dressed up really nicely, and they're having this. Everybody's playing and having a great time, and bicycling and all this stuff. And right next to them on the shore, people are drowning in the waves and calling out for help. But everybody's just having a good time, except for very few people who are reeling them in, who are going out in boats and doing it. Well, that's it. You know, look around. People are perishing, and too often we're asleep in the light. You know, so. The point is, we wanted to not only provide a means for believers to be part of the great special blessing of bringing the gospel home, a prophetic ministry to the Jewish people, but also to bring the gospel to the unreached peoples of the world in a great, great way. We prayed, you know, what was the greatest possible way that we could come up with for anybody, not just to reach the Jewish people, but to reach the world. What was the greatest way we could come up with for anybody to reach more people than any other way possible, for one person to reach more than any, I mean, to minister to multitudes of people. That's what we prayed about. And God gave us an answer. And it just so happens like we're at near the end of the tape. So this is good time. This is good timing, a little suspense. Yeah. But I'll turn it over. Hopefully in the second side, I'll have a chance to share some personal things as well as maybe a blessing and maybe some other good things. Well, we'll have a number of things. So turn over to side two. About the Great Commission. And sometimes we have notions that aren't that's for evangelists or that's for missionaries. Not at all. There's something that is not completed in our lives until we give, and it's for our own sake just as well. We're all called to the Great Commission. If you've been touched by the Lord in any way, you are called to touch others. You know, consider this. People prayed for you to come to know the Lord in one way or the other. And therefore, you know, people gave that you might come to the Lord. People persevered that you might come to the Lord. People put up with you, you know, or in whatever way that you might come to the Lord. People shared the word to you. People sent the word to you in one way or another. People sacrificed and gave that you might come to the Lord. So now we could do no less than to do the same. To, you know, the gift that has been given, we are to give it. That's the only way we can hold on to it, is by giving it. It's the paradox of it all, that we must give to receive, and we give. It goes together. As we have been touched, if you have been touched, so touch others. As you have been prayed for, so pray for others to come to know him. As you have been reached, so reach others. As you have been sacrificed for, so sacrifice for others. Have a burden, as people had a burden for you, to reach others, as people gave that you might come in one way or the other. So it is it's a circle of love. It's a sacred flow of giving and receiving, and it's complete in that way. So, you know, now in another way, to be that your part, you know, whatever your occupation is, you're a minister. Whatever you do in your life, you're a minister. Whatever you do, you're to do it for the Lord. Whatever your job is, do it for the Lord. If it's a garbage man, do the garbage for the Lord. If it's cleaning up, clean up for the Lord. If it's being an insurance salesman, do it for the Lord. Whatever you're doing, do it for the Lord. And not only that, something you might never have considered. You know, when you work, you get paid. And what that is that's a translation of your time and your effort and your energy and your service. It's coming back in the form of money. Well, the thing is, when you give to the Lord's work, and we want you to, you know, we want to say give to first wherever you're, you know, you should have a place where you're part of, you know, that you're part of a congregation, and support them first. We never want to, you know, ever, you know, compete in that with that in any way. But we also believe in giving over and above and abundantly and reaching the world in our generation for some very special thing, for the special call of the Lord. But when you give to the Lord's work, and say what you give to, you know, something where the word's going to go out all over the world, you know, what it's reconverting your time and your energy and your service, that which you gave in the Lord, it's as if your time is now time on the mission field. Your service is now service in the gospel around the world. Your energy is now that the work of your hands now is because you have converted it into that way. So it's actually whatever time you spend on the job, it's like now that is spent in the mission field. You become a minister over and again and again. You know, so consider that, because that's what it is. You may not be able to stomach, you know, say going to Africa and being a missionary and living in certain conditions. But you are doing it when you do that. You may not have a ministry to be able to reach Muslims. You may not be gifted in that way. But you are doing it. Your time and your energy is converted that way. And you may not be able to know how to share with Orthodox Jews. Well, it's converted to that. It's you. You know, you're doing it in a very real way. Consider that. That's what we do, you know, do in spreading it around the world. It's a very sacred kind of thing to have happen. You may not have ever considered that. How much you are to be a part and how much you can be a part. Okay. All right. Now, let me just tell you, we've sought how to reach the world in the greatest possible way. What is the greatest way, if you come up with, if you had all the ways you could reach people in the world, and I'm not talking about what's better, you know, but what's the farthest way of reaching, if you could, you know, the most effective in that way of reaching people with salvation? Well, the Lord opened the door for us. And the way is radio transmissions across the world, particularly shortwave radio. And let me explain. Shortwave radio is unique. Now these things are more effective. I mean, and for what it takes to get these things going and how far they reach, it's just the most effective and most far-reaching way you can ever spread the word. Shortwave radio is unique among radio broadcasts in that it doesn't go out into space. Shortwaves bounce off the atmosphere, and they keep on bouncing to the earth. So it keeps on bouncing all over the place. It goes, therefore, a shortwave radio broadcast can virtually blanket the world. It can go all around. It goes to all different nations at the same time. Imagine, you know, one broadcast can touch at the same moment. It could be touching the Ukraine, and at the same moment touching the Sahara, and at the same time touching Australia and touching the Arctic Circle. The same moment. There's nothing like it. You know, around the world, people have shortwave radios are popular around the world because many places do not have the kind of radio broadcast we have. They depend on that. That's why national governments, you know, all over the world have special shortwave radio broadcasts for that very reason. Well, how much more should we use this incredibly powerful thing for the kingdom of God? Imagine one broadcast. I mean, imagine if you were able to, you know, put on a broadcast to your state. You know, could reach, you know, could span millions of people. But imagine you could support that thing, all right, for 15 minutes to your state. You know, well, imagine if you now could do it for your nation, a national broadcast, not just for a second, but, you know, you could do it for a good amount of time. you could put it on. Well, that's an incredible. But imagine now you could have one broadcast you could support that could go to several nations, even several continents. Well, that's shortwave radio. That's how amazing it is. You can reach the unreachable. See, consider this. Throughout the world, there are many places where you cannot broadcast the gospel. For some countries, it's just that they just don't have it, or they're too poor. They don't put their resources into that. They have nothing like what we've had. So you can't get it in. The only thing that's going to reach through that way, the only radio broadcasts are not going to come from the country. They're going to come from us. It's shortwave radio will reach those areas and does. Also, there are other countries where the gospel is banned, and not only they don't have it, they don't have any broadcasting of the gospel because it's banned. Not only that, they ban Bibles, so they have people, you know, to catch smugglers and all that through, you know. But you know what? They cannot stop the smuggling of shortwave of the gospel through radio, through shortwave broadcast. It penetrates. It gets in there. It goes to these places. Other places are just people. There are peoples who are too hard to reach, where even missionaries have not reached. You know, whether it's tribes, whether it's people in certain villages or mountains or whatever in jungles. Well, shortwave radio goes there, and there are tribes throughout the world that have a shortwave radio. They gather around. They listen to it. There are huts that have it. There are, you know, so throughout the world, in cities and in jungles, in marketplaces. All over the world, there are people of every walk of life listening to the shortwave radio broadcast. So it's so amazing. The broadcast, you know, we can literally span the area of five continents, you know, and spanning areas of over a billion people. You know, it's just, it's mind-boggling, but over a billion people. So there's no, this is definitely the farthest you could possibly reach and give and have your giving and your time and your energy and your everything that you put into it go as far as possible. You know, it's so amazing. Now I want to give you a rough figure, but whenever you give a figure, you're specific. You have to I have to also be specific to date this. I'm doing this whenever you're getting this. I'm doing this. It's the summer. It's 1994, but it is. The rough average of these broadcasts is, say, 15 minutes. A program of, say, 15 minutes can go on for roughly $50. You know, some are more, some go less. But that can span virtually the world. So it's as if, imagine you had a billion tracks and you could just send it up into the wind and have it float all over the world from the Amazon to the Sahara to the Ukraine to the Arctic, to the islands, to the Caribbean, to all around. And it could go, roughly $50 supports that broadcast. And, you know, it's, you can go to a restaurant for that same, you can go out to a show and easily spend that money. Or you can not do that and you can take it and stay home and be blessed anyway and invest it in the kingdom and touch lives. So we believe that all believers are to have a great part, and you can have a truly great part in the Great Commission. And we saw what was the greatest way for us to do it and to allow others to do it in this, you know, just blanket. And you ever think you don't make a difference? You know, believe me, you can make a great difference on this globe, on this earth. One person, you know, just sacrificing a little, you know, you can do it. So, you know, your what you do is hard earned and all that. And we've sought for that. And that's the open door God's given us. So we pray you'll be real
projects.
You know,
we
partake in projects around the world. We send Bibles around the world. We've been doing that all the time. And, you know, the Bibles, are, you know, and the broadcasts are often contacts for more things. People hear the broadcast and they write to us and it opens the door for us to send them Bibles and to send them other tools or resources. For instance, we've had a tape called Finding Salvation, which is, you know, geared to just send out, and people listen to it. We've seen many people come to the Lord, and then they give it to their friends. I mean, again, across the world, they give it to their friends and they come to the Lord, you know. And then we have something called First Steps, a tape called which is how to live a strong life in the Lord once they've come. It's a follow-up tape. Second Steps is another, or Next Steps is a follow-up to the follow-up tape. So the Lord's greatly blessed. And if you need something like that, write to us, you know, we've sent tens of thousands of Bible booklets, and for instance, in Russia or Ukraine, and we take, you know, there's projects that come up at different times to support of compassion and other things like that that we want to reach. Often, one person can make a real can make the difference of whether it has happened that in the past that a person's support has made the difference of whether has determined a decision that we had to make of whether to stay in a certain country or to expand to a certain country or continent. So you really, really can make a difference. Okay, something else I think you may be surprised by. I think you'll be blessed by, and that is Hope of the World. Though it has a large outreach, it goes, you know, it has a large scope. For the first roughly 5 years of this ministry, all the people who have worked here, who have kept things going, who have done the mail, who have done the accounting, who have done the tapes, who have done everything, all the Bibles getting out, all this, everything, nobody has taken a salary. Not only that, nobody has taken any pay or compensation. And that's a real amazing thing. It has only been this, you know, and I'm going to date this, you know, for everything on this tape. I have to date to now, which is the middle of June, and we're having a heat wave here, and it's 1994. I'm in my office here with a tape recorder. And recently, the beginning of this year, we just started compensating somebody who has been given so much time and they've been devoting everything there, and even then, it's a part-time salary. It's really nothing much. But even at this point, there has been nobody who has had a full-time salary. But for the majority of up to the time, we've not even had that. Everybody who has given their time and their effort, their energy, their hours, their everything to keep this thing going, to handle every, you know, as the regular running of a ministry, has done so with no paychecks, no anything. So we could not do it without such devoted people who have valued reaching out with the gospel more than anything else. And it's a very rare thing when you write to ministries for good reason or for not so good reason. Contributions may go for a large part for just, you know, administrative things and not directly to where they're supposed to go, and for benefits and for a million other extraneous things that are not the gospel, again, for good reason or for not for good reason. But these people here have given their time, their everything. People who've handled the mail have done so with no pay. The people who have produced the tapes have done so with no pay. The people who have written and who have counseled and done so without pay. The people who have produced the shirts have done so or have sold, you know, have sent these things out or whatever. I mean, I'm just going through a lot of stuff. I mean, I was talking about the evangelism shirts, but everything, every single thing, the people who have done this and who have spent their time and have labored late at night and faithfully and with great perseverance and great effort have done so that all could go to the gospel directly. And when that means that when someone has given a gift already before that, gifts are given to their gift, so a large part of their gift would not go for things that are not direct. So, you know, we hope to, in the future, I mean, we hope to grow, and in growing, we hope, as the Lord has grown us, we hope to grow to the point it'll be a blessing that we do have full-time salaries and the whole bit. But in doing that, we don't want to get to that point without, you know, without still using as much volunteers as we can. I mean, we hope to get to the point where we have people who are on full-time and you know, who that's all they do, that they don't have to do other things, they don't have to have other jobs and all that, they can do it. So that'll be a good sign, you know, and, you know, whenever you get this, if that's the case, that's a great sign. But our commitment in this, and I tell you this so that you know the spirit of it, this is the foundation, these are the first 2 years, that's what everything else is built on, is to purely get the gospel that you could depend to help you get, you know, help you serve the Lord greatly, and that things go for that. So that's the way it's been there, and I hope you just get an idea of the spirit behind that. Because of that, sometimes things might be late in the mail. Sometimes things might be, you know, let us know. I mean, give us some leeway on that, but, you know, wait a little bit. But if you don't hear from us, let us know. But understand, if that is the case, there's a good reason for it. It may mean that we're having a lot of volunteers, you know, and we always want to try to do that as much as we're able. But again, I'm dating everything on this tape, you know, so you know when it is now. Okay, let's see. What else? Also, you know, we have a lot of resources, as you probably know. We want to bless non-Jewish people, which make up the bulk of those who support, who love the Jewish people and love other people, with, you know, helping you to be blessed with your roots, with the richness of your roots in the Lord. If you have been saved, you are now a child of Abraham. You're grafted in. And so we have a lot of great things, you know, and you can write for our tape lists that'll really, I think, bless you with unique teaching and things like A Guide to the Jewish World and Sharing Messiah with the Jewish People and tape sets and all that, and a lot of great stuff. And everything that we have, and we offer things like that, those are, you know, to raise funds, and, I mean, as well as bless in several different ways. One, that you or our listeners will be more equipped to share the gospel, or they can share it directly with, you know, by giving these tapes to other people. And also that whatever is raised by that, whatever goes over cost, goes also directly into evangelism. So it's a way of being blessed or blessings in many, many different ways, a variety of ways. Now, I want to take some time. I want to read some letters. So just to give you an idea of some letters here, and I'm just here. I have this in front of me. Just to give you a little taste of things that we've gotten from around the world and what things have gone to. Okay, this is from there's some local and some around the world. This is from Warren from Old Bridge, New Jersey. I am a Jew seeking Christ. I'm not sure what it means to be born again. Can you send me a Bible, your newsletter, possibly a tape about being born again? Thanking you immensely. You know, we get a lot of letters from people requesting things like this. Okay, a letter from Madagascar from Henrizo Raffidinarivo. I praise the Lord that such a radio ministry program as yours exists. It sure is a great help for people in poor countries like ours to be preached about hope and actually to offer them the word of God like you are doing. Henrizo from Madagascar. Here's a different one. Here's from New Jersey. I'm a young person. I feel that your show is like a breath of fresh air for the young people. Roselio Murillo. This is from Betty from the Bronx. I would not miss your show for anything in the world. I am an 80-year-old woman who lives alone, and your program is a great inspiration in my life, and it brings me joy. Okay, here from Russia. This is translated and paraphrased. Your ministry has been a great blessing to us here in Russia. You have helped us to reach others for Jesus. This is from Victor Lysachenko from Dnepropetrovsk, Russia. Okay, now we have one. Sometimes it's hard just getting through that. From Israel. I never missed your radio ministry. I want to inform you about how your radio ministry has been blessing us here. I know I am now saved by the Lord Jesus, and that's Jacob Bassman, Naharia, Israel. Okay, we have one from Delta State, which is, I know is Africa. Your messages have been an oasis in the desert, of a world of modernism and pride. We are so impressed, inspired, blessed, and touched with the solidity of your gracious ministry. This is from Naduka Onyeche from Delta State. Here's another one. This is local. This is just different. At times I'm feeling down. When you come on the air, you're very funny at times. You make me laugh, Monica Hartley. That's just a little different thing to throw in there. Nigeria, we are highly exalted about how the Lord has been greatly using and blessing this breakthrough ministry to have such a tremendous impact on so many lives. There was a man in our church who was about to commit suicide, but as a result of your messages, he was saved. Brother Idya, Nigeria. Here is one from Zimbabwe. I heard the cassette. I mean, it happens in all different. I heard the cassette by Mr. Jonathan Kahn in a taxi. He heard a cassette, not the broadcast, a cassette that was spread there, in a taxi going to town. And I quickly noted the address down as I was greatly moved by his teachings. And, well, and we have all sorts of things. Let me just tell you, you know, it's
we get letters from all over. Letters from we've gotten letters from prisoners, people in jail hearing the broadcast. We have letters from a I remember a letter from a prisoner in the Caribbean, of all places, and but the word got through. The broadcast penetrated the walls. We've had I remember a letter from a soldier in the midst of a war who was listening. I don't know, you know. We've had letters reporting, you know, letters from up north near the Arctic, reporting what was happening with the Eskimos in our broadcast or the Arctic Circle up there. Letters from the Middle East. Letters from we've had letters telling us what's happened to witch doctors who've come to the Lord. A household of Muslims who received the Lord. They were given one of the cassettes that we sent to Africa, you know, over there. This is in Africa. And they all received the Lord. We had letters from government officials seeking the Lord or listening to the broadcast. Royalty. Latin America. Children of religious people, of other, you know, leaders of other religions. People from Western Europe and the Eastern Europe, the Ukraine. People who are under communism when they heard. We have letters from Orthodox Jews and from rabbis. It's just amazing the reach that happens. Now, let me just quickly tell you about mishpucha. Okay, you can try that word, mishpucha. This is the word that the Lord used. It means family in Hebrew, and it's simply this. Listen, we want to offer you this and open the door and invite you to be part. There's a big difference between just listening and really being part. Obviously, you've been moved by the Lord to write, and we have a simple thing. It's you know, a special way of being part, and that is simply we don't have any set thing. It's simply you pray and you decide. You know, you pray and you decide what the terms are. Meaning this, whatever God lays on your heart. If you could help on a regular way, you can help in a monthly basis with. If you'll pray for us on a monthly basis and pray for the ministry and those things going out, because we're nothing without His Spirit in each broadcast, in each Bible, with each everything that goes out. If you'll pray for us at least on a monthly basis, and if you will help support on a monthly basis, whatever you're led to, whatever God lays on your heart, you'll be a member. That's the terms. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, that's the terms. And because, you know, it doesn't matter how much, doesn't matter how big or small. It's what the Lord lays on your heart that you can freely give, joyfully give to the Great Commission. And God will provide. You know, you can pray, listen, I don't know, well, God, whatever you provide and whatever you lay on my heart, that's it. So what could be more? You know, the point is we should all be part of the Great Commission. And, you know, the other thing is that the real backbone of our ministry is the members. You really make the difference. You know, there's a difference between just again listening and maybe occasionally helping, which we thank God for. But there's something that doesn't even, you know, is even more meaningful, that when someone says, I don't want to just give to the ministry, I want to be part of the ministry, you know, and that is regular. You know, the Hope of the World is really made up of many people with, you know, not that anybody makes a lot and money or whatever, and who faithfully give, and that's. And pray for the ministry. We're all this in this together. We're just like the voices here, you know. But a body is far bigger than just the voices. You're part. So we invite you to be part, to become mishpacha, the family of God. And so that's all you do. So I just invite you just to pray whatever God would provide for you. That's it. And would lay in your heart. And it doesn't matter how big or small. And if you'll pray with us once a month, and if you'll be faithful in that, whatever the Lord lays in your heart or gives, and it could change from month to month, you'll be a member. You'll be mishpacha. Write to us. Let us know. Just say you want to become mishpacha if you haven't already. And you'll get a special message tape, The Bride and the Bridegroom, which is our welcome tape. I'll welcome you, and then you'll get the Bride and the Bridegroom with the Hebrew marriage, the mystery of the bride and groom in the ancient Hebrew marriage. Very beautiful subject, you know, mystery, but very beautiful. You'll get a special message tape every month with great messages, I think, with practical messages like overcoming habitual sin, with kind of... deep messages like the mystery of Melchizedek or the mystery of the Dead Sea Scrolls and a lot of great stuff. And you'll get the Watchman World Report automatically if you haven't gotten already on Israel, world events, prophecy, keeping you up to date on what's happening. And you'll be blessed. But more importantly, you'll be a blessing to the world. And our pledge is to fulfill our callings. We want to fulfill our callings to get the gospel out. The harvest is great. And to allow as many people as possible to be part of the Great Commission, to the Jew, the Gentile, to the unreached peoples of the world, to the people from the huts of Africa, to the farmers in the Ukraine, to the Eskimos in the Arctic, to the people in the Caribbean, to people, to the Jew to in Israel, to the soldier, to all people in a very wonderful way. We pray you be part. So please pray and be part. Our address is, you probably already know, is Hope of the World, Box 1111. It's Lodi, that's L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and the zip code is 07644, and thanks. And write in, if you have any prayer requests, we want to do everything we can to pray for you, too. Now, I was going to just quickly share my testimony, and maybe if I have time to do the Aaronic blessing at the end, the blessing of Aaron, the 3,000-year-old blessing of the Bible, if I can't. Anyway, quickly, just tell you, I'm Jewish, I was raised Jewish, and when I was about 8 years old, I became an atheist. I decided there was no God. But as I got a little older, I saw that that didn't work. That was empty, and there was an empty blackness about the whole thing. And when I became about 13, I started seeking. There had to be something more. And so I started getting every book I could on science, on religions, on the occult, on everything, you know. And I started investigating everything. And one day I stumbled across a book about Bible prophecy, and I had no idea that what the Bible said was coming true, that the Bible said about the Jewish people is coming true and coming and wandering the earth and coming back to Israel. And that started me thinking. I started reading the Bible now, and I started seeing how in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, it prophesied the Messiah, which was fulfilled in the New Testament. It's hundreds of years later, and there's no book like this. And I started reading and reading. Anyway, I started coming closer and closer, but I didn't want to give my life to the Lord. I knew it in my head now, but I didn't want to give my life. I didn't want to live it. I thought you give up everything when everything that's good, but I didn't realize you give up everything that's not good. God gives you everything that's good. Anyway, I made a deal with God. I said, Lord, you know, give me a long life, and I'll accept you when I'm about to die. That was my deal. And so what happened is I almost got killed twice, and the second time I was hit by a train. I said, oh, God, as I was hit by a train. The car was demolished, and I didn't get a scratch on me. And I said, all right, Lord, that was strike two. I didn't want to let one more thing happen. So I said, all right, I'll accept you when I'm 20. When I'm 20. But that I meant it. When I was 20 years old, I received the Lord. There's nothing better I've ever done in my life. Even though I came kicking and screaming, nothing better. That's in a nutshell. I can't tell you, you know, I don't have much time except just to bless you with the Aaronic blessing. So God, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, God bless you.
It is customary to bow one's head when this blessing is said and close your eyes. The blessing of God is from Numbers, the ancient blessing, 3,000 years old. And I do this. I don't know you personally. You may know me better than I do, but I pray for you. And so, the Aaronic blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavalecha v'chunecha Yitza Adonai Manavalecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, and may He give you His grace. May He lift up the light of His countenance upon you, and may He give you Shalom, life, fullness, peace, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. God bless you, my friend. I pray this is the beginning of a long and beautiful relationship. Shalom.